Hello and welcome to Culture with me, Robert Bound. This week it was announced that the Eurovision Song Contest will be broadcast on American TV for the first time in its 61-year existence. And we want to know why. So we're posing the question, can Eurovision break America? Many have tried and lots have failed, but is the new world ready for this glittery Goliath? Australians like it, but will Americans be cranking up the camp factor and joining in the festivities? Find out on today's episode of Culture with Robert Bound. Do stay tuned. Eurovision is the king, maybe the queen, of song contests. Since 1956, long before your American Idols and your X Factors, the annual competition has entertained millions and launched pop careers aplenty, as well as sending a few right down the drain. The televised final is always a lot of fun. Think big ballads, big costumes, extreme Europop, a few pairs of lederhosen, maybe a trampoline, hamster wheel, or some other bizarre onstage prop. Roll it up in a big dollop of glitter and you've pretty much got it. Last year's programme was watched by almost 20 million viewers around the world. One market the show is yet to crack, though, is the US. But that all might be about to change. Last week, it was announced that the American LGBT network, a logo, will be broadcasting this year's final, the first live broadcast of Eurovision in the US. On today's Culture Show, this is what we're going to be talking about. Why has it taken so long and why now? Well, before we get to that, we're going to take to the streets of New York City to find out if those Americans even know what Eurovision is.
Wu Sung Chan and a junior at NYU studying business. Univision, isn't it something like a Mexican TV channel? Eurovision, I don't know what it is.
Charles? No, actually, I don't know what it is. I can make up a handful of stories, but I don't know.
Hi, my name is Paul. I grew up in the UK, lived there for about 37 years, and yes, I have heard of the Eurovision Song Contest. A couple of years ago, I think it was last year, my son played me the track that came second. It was the first time I'd heard about the Eurovision Song Contest since I've been here for a while. I believe it's coming over here now, that's what I'm being told. So I think music really can bond people and countries in a way that politicians can't. And of course it always breaks down barriers, so I think it would be welcome here.
Katie Gaffney, I'm a dog walker.
It's the singing competition, or it's a song competition, really, where they, like, write an original song and perform it from all over Europe.
A friend of mine is Albanian, and he was really into it, and we would, like, they would have, like, these viewings, and they'd make food from, like, all their favorite ones, and it was a big deal. It was always really fun.
I loved it. I thought it was very cool, because the theatrics are always really intense, and the productions are always really amazing, so I think people would be really into it, yeah.
So my full name is Benjamin Warren from Massachusetts. I have a vision of a more equal country and better living situations for everybody.
My name is Casey McBride. I would assume it's a television channel, but I'm not exactly sure.
My name is Erez Rose. I'm a real estate agent in New York City. I have heard of Eurovision. I think it's like a singing contest, kind of like American Idol. I know they're bringing it to the US. I think it would do well. I mean, American Idol did well, X Factor. People like to see talent, so I think it would do very well. And it's obviously very successful around the world.
Yeah, my name is Morten Eriksson. I'm from Copenhagen. It has been, of course, in Europe for many, many years. And we watch it occasionally. For me, it's a bit of too much glitz and glamour, so I'm not too fond of it. If I compare it to what you have like Voice or Idols and stuff like that, it's another thing. It's both a kitsch and it's bad music and good music. It's not streamlined like that. So if there are some artists from one country that they believe is the hit in that country, it might be rubbish in all other countries. But maybe that's also the beauty of it.
Hi, my name is Paula Wise, and I'm from Vancouver, Canada. Okay, so Eurovision I see as sophisticated, a bit narrow, cultural, exclusive, and very sumptuous, like very interesting and filled with the senses.
It seems that some Americans then might be a little bit confused as to what Eurovision is. As teased, one place that the behemoth of pop competitions has already conquered is Australia. SBS, one of the country's national broadcasters, has been showing Eurovision since 1983, and it quickly became beloved of the Antipodean nation. So much so that last year, Australia was allowed to enter the contest for the first time to celebrate Eurovision's 60th anniversary. Their entry, Tonight Again, was performed by singer-songwriter Guy Sebastian. That song earned Australia fifth place and they'll return to this year's competition. Eurovision has now won the hearts of so many Australians that SBS has acquired the rights to the format of the show to create AsiaVision, a similar contest but for the Asia-Pacific region. Monocle's Daniel Jacopelli spoke to Chief Content Officer at SBS, Helen Kelly, about the brand new show.
Growing tired and weary, brown.
We've had a long history with Eurovision. We've been broadcasting Eurovision for almost 30 years. And over the past 5 years, we've really strengthened the show in Australia. And out of that, you know, we work really closely with the EBU. And it's really, we're an associate member. And it's really at the discretion of Eurovision Song Contest and whoever is the host nation. So last year, we were invited to compete, which was a real privilege in Austria. And then obviously, we've been invited again to compete fully this time, actually, in Stockholm, so through the semi-final into the final.
Yeah, and if you ask the average Australian on the street about it, how do they feel about it?
Eurovision is a real love for the show. I think it comes, perhaps historically, out of, obviously, a lot of our population were European migrants, and so it came out of that sort of healthy rivalry between nations and a chance to really celebrate that in Australia. And so I think that's how the initial loyalty to Eurovision came. And then we use Australian presenters and things like that to give it a sort of Australian vibe and feel. But there's an enormous affection and love for it. I mean, people, you know, right across the country do Eurovision parties. We, you know, if you look at social media through the period of Eurovision, it's absolutely crammed with fans, you know, excited. Obviously, particularly excited now that we have an Australian entrant, but actually following all of the countries and just enjoying the whole kind of extravaganza. Yeah.
Wait up, girl, hold on. So listen, baby. And nevertheless, though, I know there's plans underway for an Asia-Pac version of the contest.
That's right. We're just at the early stages of working on an Asian version of the show. We were given the right to develop the format by the European Broadcast Union, and we're working with a number of partners across Asia to help build a sort of collaboration to be able to develop the show in Asia. And there, you know, there's a lot of that uniqueness of Eurovision which we'll be able to carry across, but married with, obviously, a distinctly Asian vibe and really building, if you look at the success of music across Asia with things like K-pop, there's a really strong music and performance tradition across Asia. I'm married to the music.
Yeah, and if you look at it in terms of Australia's kind of soft power, how they project their culture overseas, do you think it's also an important venue for that?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think if you look at Eurovision in Europe, you know, one of the things, obviously, we select who we think is the best artist to compete for Australia, but we also make sure we pick an artist who we think really represents the spirit of Australia. And I think Dami this year is a fabulous example of that. You know, she's modern, she's fresh, she's of Korean heritage, but she's very much an Aussie. And I think that's exactly what we hope that it does.
Yeah, and perhaps finally, I mean, how do you feel about American viewers looking at the event for the first time this year? Do you think us Yanks will enjoy Eurovision, or is it a bit too European, as it were, for us?
Do you know what? I hope so. I really hope. And I, you know, but there's a real uniqueness in the spirit of Eurovision in terms of course, it's serious and everyone's competing to do well, but there's a wonderful extravaganza and exuberance, which is really very special. I think for me, one of the closest things is when you look at things like sporting events, that sense of sort of national rivalry, but a really healthy spirit of competition. It's very similar. It has much the same vibe, you know, both in terms of in Europe, and if I look at how we see it in Australia, it's a real celebration. And I think that's one thing that's exciting, and every country can enjoy that.
That was Helen Kelly, Chief Content Officer at SBS, telling us all about Australia's plans for Asiavision. So let's get back to the USA now. We've heard about how our friends in the Southern Hemisphere have lovingly adopted Eurovision, but how might North America take to it? We're going to start with a few words from William Lee Adams, founder and editor of popular Eurovision website WeeWee Blogs. He speaks to Monocle's Fernando Augusto Pacheco.
I think it's about time. You know, as an American myself, I know that Americans sometimes think that the X Factor USA or American Idol is the end-all and be-all of music television programs, but that's really not the case. I think this format could work really well in the United States. If there was an America vision, you could have the states competing against each other, you know, Texas singing it out against the R&B from Atlanta, against the rap from New York. It could be amazing. I think that Americans will be surprised at just how colorful and camp this is. In Europe, national identity means a lot more than, say, within the United States. Like, state identity isn't as important as national identity. So I think they'll be surprised to see how this small continent can have such variety, both musically and then, of course, in terms of taste level.
So you do think that will translate well to an American audience?
Yeah, I think the show itself, they'll be a bit confused because I'm not sure that people understand that Azerbaijan is not part of Europe, but it competes in Eurovision. Some Americans may even say, where is Azerbaijan or Armenia for that matter? But I think they'll understand the competitive aspect of this because it's very much like the Olympics, but the Olympic Games of music. And everyone, you know, chooses the underdog or chooses their personal favorite and they root for them and support for them. And because this unfolds over, you know, the course of 3 hours, you get really invested in it emotionally. And Americans are very emotional people, so I think they'll respond well.
I'm very happy to hear that. Why has it taken so long to be broadcast over there?
It's a curious thing. I'm not sure. I think sometimes Americans can be very inward looking. So, you know, if you live in New York, what's happening in Kansas is very exotic to you. So perhaps you don't have the bandwidth to think about Italian music or, I don't know, French music, etc. So perhaps it's that. And perhaps there's also some issues with the transmission. You know, Eurovision is best enjoyed live, and it's an evening program. So perhaps in the middle of the afternoon on Saturday, Americans aren't sitting down to watch televised music contests.
But your guess, do you think it'll be a hit?
I think that it's going to be broadcast on Logo TV, which of course airs RuPaul's Drag Race. And so it's going to attract a particular type of viewer. You know, Logo is known as an LGBT-friendly channel. So it's going to draw people who are inherently interested in campery, in the off-kilter, perhaps avant-garde or edgy culture. So what I'm trying to say is open-minded, progressive people who will understand that this is fantastic, who will embrace the, not tomfoolery, but the spectacle of it all. So I think on Logo it will do very well. But of course, Logo is not a mainstream TV station. If this were on NBC, CBS, or ABC, I mean, my jaw would hit the floor. I don't think that middle America is ready for it, but I think that the open-minded, progressive, and creative viewers found on Logo are.
That was William Lee Adams, founder and editor of Eurovision website WeeWee Blogs. After the break, I'll be joined in the studio by Broadcast Magazine's Peter White to get our teeth into Eurovision in America. Stay tuned.
We're raising the curtain on a brand new show here on Monocle 24 devoted to the best in cinema. Tune in every week to hear from filmmakers, critics, and luminaries of the genre as we shine a spotlight on everything from revivals and the restoration of vintage cuts to Hollywood's golden age and the role of the auteur.
I never think of architecture or cities or landscapes in cinema as merely being a kind of neutral backdrop to the action. they are the action themselves.
Hear feature-length interviews with the biggest names, roundtable discussions, special reports, and more as Monocle 24 delves into the rich history of the silver screen. The Cinema Show on Monocle 24, in association with MUBI, premiering Fridays at 20:00 London time, because life is too short for bad films.
You're listening to Culture with me, Robert Bound, and today we're asking, can Eurovision break America? We're now going to turn to Peter White, international editor at Broadcast Magazine. Pete, welcome to the programme.
Hi, Rob. How are you
nice
doing?
To have your dulcet tones. I'm doing well. Nice to have your dulcet tones back on this show.
Thank you. Just don't expect me to sing.
Well, that was our great reveal at the end of this programme. I can't believe you've ruined it for our listeners. Anyway, we've soldiered on without Peter White's falsetto solo. I feel like it might be something like that. So we're asking this question about Eurovision in America. Maybe we should kind of talk about Logo, the network that's going to air it. What sort of place is that? What sort of programming is on that network then?
Yeah, so Logo's a relatively new channel. It started life as an LGBT station, and it's part of the MTV family. It's owned by Viacom, and it's a cable channel, and it's a very small one. I mean, admittedly, it goes out to sort of 50 million homes in the States, but compared to some of the other networks, it is seen as quite a small channel, and it's quite a young channel. They're sort of partnering this. You can see this is quite a good fit. They have a sort of broad entertainment focus. They try to be quite younger skewing and people who like this sort of this type of show. So yeah, you can see why they've gone on board with Eurovision. Makes a lot of sense with their audience. They're sort of known for shows like RuPaul's Drag Race. They do Flamboyant very well, so you sort of can imagine
the camp is kind of sewn into the DNA of the channel in a way.
Exactly. You'd be surprised if they hadn't been sort of looking at this for a few years to see how they could do it. So yeah, it's perfect fit for them actually.
And I mean, we look at, when I think of Eurovision, I feel that there is a sort of end of the pier music hall vaudevillian element. If you're looking at it from a British angle, from a European angle, it's very much like the sort of standard Spanish and Italian game shows that still bestride Saturday night over 3 hours. So there are those fits, I guess. It seems very European in a way. Does the US have any of these kind of shiny floor, glittery curtain kind of game shows? I wonder if you feel that it'll fit into the sort of TV landscape comfortably in the US.
I think it's very different to what they do in the States. I suppose the closest thing that they've got there is the same thing we have here, is whether it's The Voice or The X Factor or those type of shows. So the sort of global version of that. So they don't really do the same, as you say, these sort of incredibly long European and shiny floor shows that do very well in Italy and Spain and such. But you can see them thinking that this actually might be an event. Everyone in the States, they love an event. They love event television because it means they can sort of really go hard after a certain number of viewers, you know, put all their marketing money in it and go for there. So I think, you know, as a one-off thing, and I guess the idea for Eurovision as well, they want to make this thing global. It is funny that it's the Eurovision Song Contest, but there's countries now that are starting to be outside of Europe be involved. So yeah, you can see from the Eurovision point of view that if they could break into the States, if they can get, you know, a small number of the 50 million people who watch Logo involved, then it'd be fantastic for the competition.
So it's almost, you could almost see it as it's a sort of final of finals. I mean, we talk about, you know, Pop Idol, American Idol, I guess I should say in this context, that builds up so slowly to this big finals. Whereas with this one, you're kind of going straight to it. You're expecting everything to be good enough or gaudy enough to have made it. So I suppose you could almost treat it in US TV terms, kind of like a sporting event. There's a kind of super, you can incorporate a kind of Super Bowl feeling into
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, like the World Series in baseball. Yeah. At the moment only has American teams, but
well, maybe they'll let, you know, European teams in it. Maybe this is a caring and sharing thing.
Absolutely. I mean, Simon Cowell's been trying to do this for a few years. They've got a sort of spin-off show. It's a Got Talent format, where they've been trying to take the winners of all the different Got Talent formats around the world and pit them against each other, called World's Got Talent. I mean, it never really takes off because people aren't really that interested in the other country's talent. They're more interested in theirs. So if yours loses, you know, it's kind of like the Grand National. If your horse falls at the first hurdle, you kind of stop watching the race. So it's a bit like that. So, but there is an element where you can see this, people trying to move towards this. You know, we're living in a global world, so increasingly that might be the way.
Now, we've talked about the camp and we've talked about Logo being, you know, an LGBT network that obviously has its DNA in, as we said, this kind of, you know, in a different sort of very, you know, an old school kind of entertainment proposition. Justin Timberlake is going to perform at Eurovision this year. That seems like a real kind of, that feels like a real come on, a real beckoning finger to a mainstream US audience. What on earth, I mean, we can't expect what he'll sing, whether it's going to be a medley, whether it's going to be new stuff, whatever it is. How do you see that working out? Is that a comfortable fit, do you think?
I think he's going to play his new single, don't you? I think he's going
to... Please buy tickets to my gig.
What a fantastic promotional opportunity to play in front of 200 million people around the world. I think it probably is better for Justin Timberlake than it is for Eurovision, although it does raise the profile slightly. But yeah, you can see, you know, fantastic opportunity to get your new track out to the whole world. And then, you know, as I say, increasingly, you know, China aired the Eurovision Song Contest a few years ago on Hunan. So they're trying, you know, if you can get some of that audience, then that's not a bad thing for JT either.
And finally, then, we should ask the $64 million question, Pete. If you think that, in conclusion, Eurovision can break America.
I think they'll do very well on Logo, and I think I think it'll be a big hit. And I think if it is, you'll see Logo and MTV and Viacom try and perhaps sort of get in, perhaps get a US star on Eurovision at some point. So yeah, I think so.
Nice. Okay, we shall watch this space. It is small. It is in the corner of our living rooms. It is a television set. Peter White, as ever. Thank you very much indeed. Peter White is the international editor at Broadcast Magazine. You've been listening to Culture. My producer was, no beard included, Holly Fisher. And many thanks to our researcher, Fernando Augusto Pacheco. We have plenty more coverage of Eurovision throughout Monocle 24. Listen to the final instalment of our four-part series on the competition this Saturday at 1300 London time, where Fernando will be at this year's finals in Stockholm. Join me again at the same time next week. But for the time being, I've been Robert Bound, and thank you very much for tuning in.